It's Day to Day. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Madeline Brand. Yesterday, we told you about Americans heading south to places like Panama's Caribbean coast to snatch up cheap real estate. In the second part of our series, NPR's Lourdes Garcia-Navarro looks at how the influx of wealth and foreigners is affecting the local community in an area called Bocas del Toro.
At one of Bocas's busy docks, wooden crafts with outboard motors jostle as passengers jump on board. In this sprawling archipelago near the border with Costa Rica, everyone moves around by boat. Although the islands of Bocas del Toro are in the Caribbean, there is little of the clear blue sea found surrounding the countries farther east. Here, the tentacle-like roots of red mangroves claw at greenish water, and it rains a lot. Still, Bocas has a strange beauty all its own. Surfers have been coming here for years, followed by a first few expats looking for a remote location to get away from it all. But now, big money is rolling in, and Bocas has become a boom town. At the dock in the provincial capital, on the largest island of Colón, is a boat driver who asks to be called Chingo. He pulls out the boat, breaking into the calm but murky water towards one of the newest large developments. This complex under construction will ultimately boast a 100-boat marina, a spa, an Arnold Palmer-designed golf course, and homes that are selling for up to $600,000.
Para entrar ahí en oficina, se necesita un permiso.
When Chingo tries to dock, armed guards say the land is now private property and refer us to the developers on the main island. This gets Chingo mad. A bearded man with a round belly, he's part of the Creole English-speaking black community that populate this part of Panama.
I feel like everybody should stand up and feel like, say, this thing doing going right.
Chingo says their land is being sold off bit by bit. He feels locals no longer have access to certain areas, changing their way of life. And although the developers provide employment, he says the wages are low.
I don't want to work for $10 a day, because that's not no kind of money.
Chingo says he makes a good living, though, ferrying foreigners around. Bocas has a long history of contact with Americans. In 1899, Bocas del Toro town became the headquarters of the United Fruit Company until a banana blight mid-century. Now most of the banana production takes place on the mainland. There are three main local communities here: the English-speaking blacks, who were originally brought from Jamaica by United Fruit to work the plantations, the Spanish-speaking mainlanders, and the Guaymi and Ngobe Bugle Indians. The indigenous community mostly live off lobstering and fishing. Dotted all around these islands are huts made of thatch. The Indians travel in dugout canoe. Close to the development, sitting in a wooden canoe, is Michael Martinez. He's 21 and catches lobster with his homemade trap made of plastic. Today is a good day for Martinez. He's caught two large lobsters already, and it's morning still. He speaks quietly of feeling torn about what's happening around him. He says, I'd like to work at the big developments because it will give me benefits. I'll earn money there, he says. About $10 to $12 a day. Less than he'd get on a good day lobstering, but he says it's different. We can't lobster all year round. I make money today, but tomorrow I won't. There I would earn every day. Here one day I'm lucky, and tomorrow I'm not, he says. As he sits holding his lobsters, he says that he's worried about the future of his community, even though he wants to get steady work. He says, before it wasn't like this. Now many foreigners are coming, and we sell our land to them without thinking about what comes next, and we are giving the land away. With the money they give us, we think we are rich, but they're tricking us. He says, the land then doesn't belong to us anymore, and they're going to throw us out like animals. And of particular concern to some is the destruction that is taking place to accommodate all the building. In another part of the islands, near where a hotel is being built,
we're standing in front of a construction site. And even though it is illegal in Bocas del Toro to cut down the red mangroves that surround much of the islands, we're seeing it being done right in front of our eyes right now. There are red roots floating in clumps all through the bay of this new development.
Watching the bulldozer too is Alberto Lawrence, a Panamanian who works with the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute as a boat driver in Bocas. He says the real problem lies with the local and national government, who are not regulating the expansion or investing in infrastructure for the community.
Sí, hay mucha corrupción, especialmente en la alcaldía municipal aquí a Bocas del Toro.
He says there's a lot of corruption here, especially on the municipal level, and you can see it with the district representatives. He says, we've seen no improvement in our quality of life. What's happened is that things have gotten more expensive, and no one helps with the situation, he says. Last month, the ex-mayor of Bocas was sentenced to 4.5 years in prison for his participation in shady property deals. The current mayor says he is concerned about the illegal cutting down of trees and the rampant expansion. But he says most of the employment generated in the region comes from these new foreign projects. Part of the charm for foreigners of these island communities is the laid-back quality. Walking on the unpaved roads is the best way of getting around on land. There are very few cars. Boca's boom has meant that on the one hand, you can get gourmet food and have a wireless internet connection. Just take a 2-minute boat ride to the Isle of Carenero across from Boca's town, and you'll see locals living on stilt houses above a swamp of acrid sewage. Some big developers are putting a small community outreach program in place. Other foreigners who live in Bocas full-time are trying to practice sustainable development. And some locals are optimistic about the future here. Caleb Thomas Porter is a portly 60-year-old, the father of 11 children, he says proudly. He's also the owner of a boat business, a hotel, an internet cafe, and the bustling restaurant where he sits to talk. He is a local success story.
I came from a very small population, which is down far, 50 miles off from here on the coast, on the Atlantic coast. Grown up very humble, family of very little money.
Now he's one of the leading local entrepreneurs taking advantage of the boom. He believes that all the investment will eventually improve people's lives.
I'm real positive of what is going on. I see things is coming, and I have a lot of friends that is not from here, American and so forth. And I really see that things is coming.
He says, though, that most locals haven't learned yet how to take advantage of what's happening. He says what the area really needs is more regulation by the local and national governments. If not, he warns, there could be trouble ahead. Already there have been confrontations between some foreigners and a few Indian communities.
Bocas is growing. When it's a place grow, everything grows. The good things grows, and the bad things grows.
Lourdes Garcia Navarro, NPR News.
And you can hear the first of this two-part series at our website, npr.org. NPR's Day to Day continues.